carrying 81 people, including members of Brazilian football club Chapecoense, crashed on the outskirts of Medellin in Colombia, killing almost everyone on board. The team were travelling from Bolivia to play in the first leg of the Copa Sudamericana final, the biggest game in the club's history. Only two members of the team are believed to be among the five survivors. There are now calls to award the tournament win to Chapecoense in honour of the victims. An explosion at a food court loading dock in Haymarket last night has injured up to 16 people, including a two-year-old boy who was hit by flying metal. The blast is being blamed on a gas main. Semi Radradra has arrived at Parramatta local court, where he'll face a domestic violence hearing. He returned to Sydney last night from Fiji after a magistrate issued an arrest warrant for his no-show on Monday. Meanwhile, New Eels CEO Bernie Gurr told the Big Sports Breakfast that French rugby club Toulon went off too early in declaring Radradra had signed for 2017. And the star winger will certainly remain with Parramatta next year. And a fisherman is being hailed a hero after he hauled in more than he bargained for, rescuing four schoolies floating on two inflatable flamingos, a unicorn and a dinosaur. The four were drifting helplessly into a strong current in shark-infested waters off Phillip Island yesterday when the fishermen towed them back to shore. In sport, the Sheffield Shield match between Tasmania and New South Wales has ended in a draw, with Tasmanian all-rounder James Faulkner reaching 100 not out as the Tigers finished their second innings at 4 for 266. In the other match to conclude yesterday, Queensland defeated WA by 97 runs, thanks in part to three wickets each from Ben Cutting and Mitchell Swepson. ARL Commission Chairman John Grant has ruled out standing down over his ongoing issues with NRL club bosses. Grant says it's highly disappointing that the clubs have taken this course of action against him, while Queensland Rugby League Chairman Peter Betros has called the pursuit of John Grant as destructive and that it highlights NRL clubs' selfishness in the battle for the game's funding. Sydney FC coach Graham Arnold insists losing the FFA Cup final tonight is simply not on the agenda. Tonight's match between the Sky Blues and Melbourne City brings together the last two of 701 teams entered in this season's Cup. And Englishman Ian Poulter will begin his quest to beat local favourite Adam Scott and an exceptional wave of new kids in the Australian PGA beginning tomorrow. Poulter, who is now in his 40s, has laughed off suggestions he's too old to compete at the top level, saying the likes of Vijay Singh and Miguel Angel Jimenez are proof. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Sky Sports Radio has what it takes for the biggest race day of the week.
Hogmanay's clear. Jimmy Innes has pulled off the perfect ride. Hogmanay leads all the way from unbiased.
Racing HQ Saturday from 6:30 has Brassel, Duffersey, Fraser and Bernadette Cooper with previews of all the feature races.
At Rose Hill, there's the Festival Stakes and a very competitive Starlight Stakes.
While in Brisbane, the Group 3 George Moore at Eagle Farm holds centre stage.
This is some weekend.
Saturdays and every day, we bring you the very latest winning information
on Sky Sports Radio.
See the next generation of Group 1 stayers out of Zabil Mares at Proven Thoroughbred's Open Morning with John Thompson this Sunday from 9:30. Register your attendance at John Stables in High Street, Randwick by emailing jamie@proventhoroughbreds.com.au. AFSL 301464.
At Bing Lee for a limited time, purchase any Beko, LG, Westinghouse, Samsung or Fisher & Paykel fridge and you'll get it delivered and your old fridge taken away for free. Only at Bing Lee and only for a limited time. See in store or binglee.com.au for details.
If you love a bet, then we'll bet you love the jackpots and specials coming your way every week. So place a bet you'll never forget today on the Tab app, online at tab.com.au or at your local Tab. Tab, we love a bet.
There are gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And it is 8 past 10 with Sean Cosgrove and Glenn Munsey joining us too. Munts, how are you?
Sean, I'll tell you what, it's not a nicer day here in Sydney as it has been. They've tipped storms the last 2 days. Well, it's like me trying to find a winner. They've only got two options, rain or no rain, but they managed to get it wrong the last 2 days in a row. And today's probably got more cloud than we've had the last couple of days.
Yeah, talking to Greg Carmody earlier on, he was sort of wasn't thinking there'd be rain. It just didn't look good with the cloud coming in.
No, and it's a little bit interesting, the track there, Sean, with the penetrometer of a 4.74 penetrometer and a good 4. Just to cast your mind back, on the 5th of November, the penetrometer was 4.54. It was a good 3. On the 11th of November, the penetrometer was 4.89. It was a good 3. And the 25th of November, it was 4.91, and it was a good 4. But they have undergone a little bit of renovation. I think they might just be... and they put plenty of irrigation into the track, too. A carry might be just sitting there a little bit longer with the once they've opened the track up and done a few things to it.
All right, 10 past 10. Jeremy Lowley's joining us now from the NBL. Morning, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm very well, Sean. How are you?
Good. Now, to use a racing term, if you look back at last weekend's results and you'd been a steward, would you have swabbed some of these? Adelaide, for example?
Hey? It was a pretty unbelievable round, wasn't it? Every one of the games was the lower-ranked team beating the higher-ranked team, and I think that's the first time that will have happened in NBL history. It would be a difficult one to go back and test, but certainly nothing registers in the memory banks that was quite as remarkable as that.
I tell you what, Jeremy, it didn't slip by our former basketball expert we had on, you know, not degrading you at any stage. Tommy, he loves an outsider, and he jagged a few of those.
He did. No, he does love an underdog. And but although, I tell you what, there's not really such a thing as an underdog in this year's competition, because everyone's incredibly close on the ladder, and anyone can beat anyone. We saw that perfect example of that last round, but it goes beyond last round as well. In the last 7 games in a row, the lower-ranked team has beaten the higher-ranked team, and 9 of the past 11 games, the lower-ranked team has beaten the higher-ranked team. So it's a pretty even competition.
Now, what first up, Adelaide-Brisbane, what happened there?
well, look, it was an interesting one, but everyone thought Adelaide was dead in the water for a little while when they'd lost their first 4 or 4 in a row. But look, they've come back and beaten the Kings on their home court and the Brisbane Bullets on their home court. And it's hard to see them losing on current form. Having said that, they've only won one game at home. So they've got the Perth Wildcats at home this week. So it's a pretty daunting combination for them. Perth have won their last 5 games against Adelaide. And coach Trevor Gleeson's coaching his 300th game in the NBL. So a very warm congratulations to him. But as I said, Adelaide have only won one at home this year, and their battles with Perth have more meaning than against any other team in the competition. So I think I'm picking the 36ers at home in this one, with Perth not so convincing on the road themselves at the moment.
Yeah, well, our boys agree with you there, because, well, they've got inverse records here. Perth, 11 games for 6 wins and 5 losses. Adelaide, 11 games for 5 wins and 6 losses. But Adelaide's the $1.75 favourite at home on Saturday night against Perth, who are 2-10.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty fair market.
Rightio, tonight, well, Perth, this is the first of their double header weekend here. They take on Brisbane tonight at home, and they're 155 here. The Bullets are 245. They're in for a world of pain, you'd think, the Bullets.
Thursday night, Monday.
Thursday night, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, look, both of these teams have identical records as well, so it makes it very even. Whoever wins this game will go to the top of the ladder. But this shows how even the competition is. Whoever loses will drop to fourth, or even as low as fifth if they lose by more than about 12 points. So Perth have been so reliable at home over the journey, but have lost 2 of their past 3 games there. And Brisbane come to town bringing Jermaine Beal and Tom Jarvis back to Perth for the first time, who both won championships with the Wildcats in 2014 and 2016. But it's a close one. The Wildcats haven't lost consecutive games at home in their past 30 games. So I'll lean towards them slightly on this one.
Now, the New Zealand-Illawarra game on Friday, you'd think that would be a flip of the coin, wouldn't you?
You would. Again, we've got two teams on identical records at 6-6, and the Hawks ended a 25-game losing streak in Perth last Sunday, so they'll be very, very confident. But the Breakers have struggled in their last couple of games. They'll have a bit of extra incentive this week with Kirk Penny playing his 150th game, so 150th NBL game, that is, so congratulations to Kirk. And he, of course, led the Hawks in the scoring last year. He was a superstar for them last year. So these teams have already played twice this year, both games going the way of the home side, and I'm going to stick with that theory and tip the Breakers.
Yeah, well, they're 145 favourites there, the Breakers. The Hawks are 275. Poor old Brisbane, you haven't done them any favours. They got Thursday night in Perth, and then on Saturday night, they're at home to Cairns. 165 Brisbane, 225 the Taipans.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's about how I'd call it as well. They met just a couple of weeks ago in the infamous blackout game. Bullitt's got the nod there by being ahead when the lights literally went out. But it's worth noting that the Taipans didn't have Travis Trice last time these teams played, and he's well up there as potentially being the best import guard in the league. So Cairns may well be the toughest opponent to play, and they scout really well. But how the Bullets pull up after playing against Perth on Thursday night will have a big bearing on this game. I'll call the Bullets at home, but only just.
Now, do we call Adelaide the giant killers now? Perth?
Taking on Sydney and Perth and beating them both at home, it's a pretty impressive feat, and I can't imagine many teams will replicate it this year. So I think we can colloquially refer to them as the Giant Killers. Shame we don't have a team called the Giants in the competition anymore. But that's another story.
Now, what do you think, Adelaide Perth?
Oh, look, said earlier, I think the 36ers in this one. Perth not really convincing on the road at the moment, and I think they'll just get up.
Right. Do you think they've come back to earth, Melbourne, after what they did the other night?
I think they could still be on cloud nine, and I think most of the 10,500 fans who were there will still be there with them. Early reports are that this is going to be a sellout again. Melbourne United and New Zealand has been one of the most epic rivalries in NBL history in the last 12 months. Melbourne are looking good at the moment, though, with their new import, Casper Ware, has been an absolute breath of fresh air for them. They got Chris Golding back in the last 2 weeks as well, and he's hit form straight away. And they're possibly going to have Todd Blanchfield back in the lineup this week, who'll have even a bit more scoring punch. But they really do have a bogey team in the Breakers. They've lost to them 7 times in a row now, including 6 consecutive games. They played them 5 times in a row at the end of last season as they met in the final. And they've lost 10 of their past 11 games to the team from across the Tasman. But the Breakers have been a bit unsettled. David Stockton is a really good value pickup for them, but at the same time, he's yet to really take a game by the throat. And I think Melbourne might just have too much firepower for them, especially if Todd Blanchfield is back in the lineup. So I think that 7-game losing streak will come to an end in Melbourne.
Right, well, they're the equal shortest price favourite of the round here, Melbourne United, on Sunday afternoon. They're 145, the Breakers 275. And then Monday night, down there in Wollongong, the Hawks take on the Sydney Kings. Always a little bit extra in this as well.
There is. It's a great rivalry. And look, the Kings are still top of the ladder despite having lost consecutive games for the first time. Very sadly, they've lost import Steve Blake, who's returned to the US this week. Not as a result of form, but due to personal circumstances back home. So I know the door remains open for Steve Blake, and we all hope to see him back in the NBL as soon as possible. Sydney have already beaten the Hawks twice this year, and Kevin Lish had a great time the last time he went back to his old club in Wollongong. He's a reigning MVP, and it's for a good reason, so he'll be the guy that the Hawks have to stop. But look, the Hawks are playing pretty good basketball right now, and I think they're playing a bit better than the Kings at this time. So I'm actually going to give Illawarra the nod at home against the Sydney Kings, controversially perhaps, but I think the Hawks might get up.
Well, They're 2-10 outsiders, the Hawks, and $1.75 the Kings. Does that surprise you?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, Kings are at the top of the ladder for a reason. I think on paper they have the best team in the competition. Steve Blake really doesn't leave that much of a hole. He added fantastic depth to the team. But in his absence, they've still got a hell of a lot of talent there at the point guard position. You've got Kevin Lish and Jason Kadee also in fantastic form. So, look, I think they are favourites for a very good reason. But I just have a feeling that after last round of upsets, we've got to have at least one in this round as well. And Hawks are my outsider for the round.
All right. So they're your outsider for the round, the Hawks?
I think so. And I think we'll see a bit of a reversal of fortunes from last round. We had all the upsets last round. I think you'll generally go with the favourites this week. But, tip the Hawks to get up in Wollongong for their home crowd.
Yeah, right. Well, they're the only home team that's outsider in their match too.
I think that's fair. I would generally tip with the home team this round. They're so evenly matched that in many cases, that's the only thing that can tear them apart. So, yeah, go for the home team this round, guys.
All right, will do. Jeremy, good to catch up, and we'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy. Jeremy Lowlich are there from the NBL. We'll take a break, then we'll come back and launch into Canterbury. trying to find a winner today. Munt, it's 19 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio.
Here at Sky Sports Radio, we know what punters expect.
The best experts.
Late mail.
Interviews with trainers and jockeys.
Tips and the all-important Tab Market Movers.
Tab Market Mover here for you at Rose Hill. Hogmanay here for Chris Waller, number 11. It's 850 into 550, number 11.
Hogmanay's clear. Jimmy Innes has pulled off the perfect ride. Hogmanay leads all the way from unbiased.
Tab Market Movers for thoroughbred, harness and greys have proven invaluable to our listeners. Stay with the punters, pal.
Sky Sports Radio.
The Mudgee region is the flavour of the year. There's such diversity in agriculture, and it's such a beautiful and historic area. Mudgee's leading real estate agency, The Property Shop, is proud to welcome lifestylers, retirees and investors to this magnificent region. It's an area where you can buy a brand new home under $350,000 and rent it for $350 a week, or buy a 10-hectare bush retreat for as low as $100,000. Want to view some of these properties? Then go to thepropertyshop.com.au. Live racing is now available at tasracing.com.au. Every Tasmanian race day, all three codes. Available on your desktop, tablet and mobile. Absolutely free. Live racing at tasracing.com.au.
It's time to get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
It is 20 past 10 with Sean Cosgrove and Glenn Muncy looking at racing today. And I think we'll have to call in Group 1 Timmy Clark joining us now, Munce.
Oh, it's just becoming easy for
him. Yeah, showing off now. Morning, Tim. How are you, mate? Congratulations.
Thanks, Cosy. Morning to you both.
Now, mate, I noticed you were on Thoroughbred Weekly on Sunday morning. Now, was that purposeful or you just had no ability whatsoever to find that red eye at 11 o'clock on Saturday night?
No, I thought I'd stay and enjoy the hospitality in the West and, popped into the show on the way to the airport the next morning.
Fantastic. I've got to ask you, Tim, when you pulled up and turned around and saw 1G Moore galloping down the straight towards you, did you wonder what he was going to do?
Well, I was expecting him, that's for sure. I knew he'd be on track somewhere. And, he ran a good furlong or so up the track to greet myself and take down on our way back. And, and about 15 minutes later, we finally got back to the mounting yard.
Mm. Mate, your opinions of Perth, the first time you were ever there, apart from the fact you now want to bottle it and bring it home?
Yeah, no, it was great. Had a great day, obviously, and enjoyed my time there. Track rode good. Had a good vibe about it. And really... really enjoyed my time there and, looking forward to getting back there hopefully one day soon.
Right. Tim, sorry, Sean, but the big question is now, will you go to Hong Kong to ride Takedown?
Yeah, I'm going over there on Sunday week, the 11th, so I'm riding in Brisbane on the 10th as part of the Jockeys Origin Series that they're having again this year, so I'll fly out from Brisbane on the Saturday night and get to Hong Kong Sunday morning.
Tim, how did you find the track on the surface? Terra Vista, Keena Ray, both, as the steward said, mistrode, sort of put in a short one on. How did you find it?
Thought the track was good. It was an extremely hot day over there, so obviously they were very mindful of that and made sure that they'd put plenty of water onto the track so it didn't firm up and get rock hard. I thought the surface had enough give in it to it was good for the horses' welfare and pretty sure there wouldn't have been too many excuses as far as horses pulling up sore from a hard track because it had enough give out of it.
I asked you the other day the situation when you leave the jockeys room there and actually walk down on the course proper to get the enclosure. You really hope you haven't given one a sore back the previous race.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I sort of walked out that door onto the track to have a quick look at the track, and I see the mounting yard a fair way down. I thought, oh, there must be a little side entrance or something that we sort of ducked down to get down there. But in the first race, I'll follow a couple of the boys, the locals, and see where they go. And, we're out on the track walking down next to the horses as they come down into the yard. Bit of a different setup, but it's seems to work pretty well. And yeah, there was no dramas with it. And yeah, you're very close to the crowd there, and still having a good time.
I suppose, Tim, greetings could vary from "I love you, mate" to "you couldn't sit in the car with a fishing net over it," wouldn't they? Depending on whether they're back to win or lose it with you.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Well, that's part and parcel of the game, I guess. The banter from the crowd, it's all in good fun.
Now, you had an interesting one today by Pins Ivory Man. You're riding in the second for Joe Pryde. This horse has had two preps. He's had a few trials. Have you been on board and work at all?
I haven't been on him, so this is the first time I'll sit aboard him. Real grey horse. I saw him. He was at the trials the other day. Didn't have a lot of room late in the trial. So I'm a fair bit in the dark with him as far as their expectations. But yeah, hopefully he can run well on debut and have a nice day out. And hopefully, yeah, he doesn't look like he's got a heap of speed from what I've seen in the trial. So and breeding wise, you might suggest he might want a little bit further. So hopefully he can hit the line and we'll progress from there.
Right, well, he currently is, just having a look here, he's a $15 chance, Ivory Man, and part owned by the Champion Thoroughbreds people there for Joey Pryde. Your next ride is in the third race. An interesting runner here, Gracious Grey, because you have a quick look at its form. You go, fifth of six at Warwick Farm, sixth of nine at Warwick Farm, but it started in the market both times. Paul Joyce has already chastised our boys for putting it up as much as $13 off the back of a couple of trials here. It's a $6 chance now in the third race.
Yeah, I wrote her a first start, and Ron's always had a nice opinion of her, and she didn't have a lot of luck first start. She's caught wide. She'd probably come to the end of her prep, had a bit of a break, and then come back and hit during the winter, one of them really, really heavy tracks at Warwick Farm, and sort of struggled a little bit in it. But she looks like she's come back in good order, judging on her trial. I thought her trial was brilliant the other day. And I think she's a great chance today going on the back of that. She definitely looks like a horse with... She's shown good talent throughout her career, and hopefully she can start realising that potential.
Tim, you're on Fairyland for Matt Smith in the fourth. Hasn't been far off him. It's been at odds its last two, and you've ridden its last couple. How do you assess it today?
Yeah, she's sort of... She's probably needed a few runs to get... reach peak fitness, which she should be getting near today. Only concern is I feel that she's probably a better mare with a bit of cut in the track. That's probably the only concern, but she's got the ability to roll forward and make her own luck. And as I said, she's a few runs now. She should be nearing peak. And just hopefully she doesn't feel the ground too much.
Right, race six. Race five you have off. That's a rarity for you, the way you're going at the moment. But race six, you're on one for Les Queen Misty. She's a five-year-old mare, but she's only had eight runs.
Yeah, lightly, very lightly raced. Les, as you know, she's always very patient with them, and if they need the time, he's willing to give them the time. And this mare, she's always raced very well. She's rarely put in a bad run, and her runs this prep have been good. She ran a good second the other day off probably a little bit of a slow and unsuitable tempo. She's better mare when they get along a bit, and she can sort of sit back and have the last look at them. And she'd been back for the trial since then, trialled very well, and I think she's a very, very good chance in a even sort of a race today.
You got Rock of Mahal in the next event, which is race seven. You go through its form, Tim, by gee, it finished right on the hammer a few runs, and it shows pace.
Yeah, just tried something a bit the other day on him. His rock hard fit on the back up. Just thought we'd try and pinch a bit of a break on him and see if we could use his fitness to try and get away with it. And he ran really good. Just found one better. He's got speed to make his own luck around Canterbury. Short of straight might suit him. Just whether he gets too much pressure up front, that's going to be the only thing. He can get away with a couple of easy sectionals down the back. He might take a bit of running down. He's rock hard fit and racing reasonably well.
mate, when you ride these sort of horses, and on face value, you say, geez, I'd have to seriously doubt whether he can get 1550. Is it in the back of your mind, I've got to try and get this bloke to get this distance, so therefore I've just got to be a little bit kind on him, or you're best to just let them run?
I think, you know, I don't think there's a heap of a query as far as him getting 1550 if we ride him the right way. Like, I obviously can't ride him like I did the other day in a 1400. I've got to, obviously be a little bit more conservative. But if I can, he should run the trip out, no worries. It's just a matter of just rating him a bit better and making sure that he's relaxed in the run and getting enough of a rest so he can finish off. But I think he'll be strong enough at the back end of the 1550.
Now, Tim, of yours today, what's the pick of yours?
I'd say Queen Misty and Gracious Grey are my two best chances.
All right, terrific. Good luck today, and good luck in Hong Kong if we don't catch up with you before too.
No worries. Thank you. Thanks, Fozzie. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Tim Clark, always good to catch up in there, Munt. It's 10:30. We'll take a quick break. Sky Sports Radio.
Every day you can rely on Sky Sports Radio to pass on the winning information. Trainers and jockeys discuss their chances on a wide array of programs. Take Brisbane trainer Chris Anderson on Elegant Composure.
I think she's really come on mentally. I think the penny's really started to drop. She is quite wound up.
Chris was right on the ball.
Elegant Composure in front of Private Secretary, and Elegant Composure's won the race from Private Secretary, and Beatnix has run third.
Get the right mail every day on Sky Sports Radio.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The Man Shake helped me lose weight, and now I have more energy to be a better dad.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new Garth Brooks Gunslinger album. Carrie Underwood's Australian Deluxe Tour Edition of Storyteller. Kenny Chesney's new album, Cosmic Hallelujah, featuring Pink. And Miranda Lambert's The Weight of These Wings. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
It is 10:30, Sky Sports Radio. Let's update news and sport now with Gemma Cutting.
Thanks, Sean. Melbourne City will be looking to lift their first ever piece of silverware in tonight's FFA Cup final against Sydney FC. City coach John Van Schip says tonight is the most important game for the club in its history. Both teams trained at the venue Amy Park last night. A crowd of more than 20,000 is expected. Australian batsman Aaron Finch is wary of New Zealand's pace attack heading into Sunday's opening ODI at the SCG. Finch respects the Kiwis, believing they're a fantastic side with the likes of Trent Bolt and Tim Southee dangerous with the new ball. Wallabies playmaker Bernard Foley says watching video of the loss to Ireland is tough viewing, but a victory over England on the weekend will erase some of the disappointment of June's series whitewash. The match will be played at 1:30 a.m. Sunday, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. And world number one Jason Day looks like he'll take the slow road back to golf as he continues to be sidelined with a back injury that has kept him off the course since September. Day says he's got to understand he's in it for the long run, and when it comes to injuries, he can't push himself too much. In other news, 76 people, including almost an entire Brazilian football team, on the way to the biggest game in its history, have been killed.